Start your day of the tour, Robbie Yossimo.
Hi, good morning everyone. One of the things that we're buying before Rosh Hashanah is honey. And you go to the shops, sometimes you can go to the kosher sections of the shops and the supermarkets, Tesco or something, I don't think they have a mashgiach yet about putting certain things into the kosher section. But you might find honey, whether pure honey or forest honey, both in the same place, not knowing that pure honey is okay and forest honey could be a serious shayla of a kashrus shayla. What kashrus shayla could it be in forest honey? Basically, forest honey is kashmoy kenhu. The bees, they don't go around flowers. They don't go picking on flowers and going back to the hive. They're put into a forest, and they go to the trees. What's on trees? On the leaves, there are remnants of shrotzim, of insects, which sometimes they go on leaves. And you know, sometimes when you see a slug, afterwards you see it's a bit slimy. So they take these sort of bits, and that's how they go back to the hive, and that's how they make the honey. In fact, you can see it's much more darker. It's coming from you look at the different types of honey, pure honey and forest honey. Forest honey is always darker. It's coming from a different. They're put in a forest, and they get stuff from shiraim of shrotzim. So there's someone called Rabbi Yechia Tubal. And he wrote a very nice tshuva. He's got tshuva svarim called Maris Yisharim. Beautiful, beautiful tshuva svarim. And he's got a tshuva that he writes, claiming that the whole sugya in the Chayras, Dav Zayin, which allows us to have honey, it comes from something that you're not allowed to eat. I mean, it comes to milk, right? So we know that you can have milk. You know, it's okay. It comes from a kosher animal. And it's something very nice. But when it comes to who's going to eat a bee. You know that it's also ba'achila. So how can you have something which is coming from a bee? Hayotzim and atomi tomi. So how does that work? So there's a whole sugya in Bechor is to address this point. Does it go inside the stomach? Does it not go inside the stomach? But there is an assumption that that's because it's getting it from flowers, where that itself, the flowers, is not itself something which is also ba'achila. You'll have to eat a flower. So, whereas when it comes to something that is getting the stuff from Shrotim, who said that Chazal were mati that? And the Sheikh Dalevi responded to that tshuva. He sent this tshuva to the Sheikh Dalevi, and the Sheikh Dalevi was very impressed with the tshuva, and he says, Gam dati nota lahachmir. My thoughts are also to be machmir the shayla. And therefore you have this response. I think Kilbidi also mentioned this point, that you have to be aware that when you're buying the round honey, or certain honeys, you have to make sure that you're ruling out this shayla of forest honey. Someone actually had the shayla last week where his wife went to a local store under the kosher section and got one of these honeys, which wasn't pure honey, it was forest honey, and she made schnitzel. And she wants to know, is it okay to eat the schnitzel? What's the what would you say to the shayla? It's very interesting that it's not the only tshuva sefer that speaks about the shayla, Rav Eliashiv. Shevet Halevi, Rav Eliashiv, Ramot Chagros from Bnei Brak, he asked Rav Eliashiv this shayla many years ago, and Rav Eliashiv said, Chazal say Tavash Tavarim is Muta, it doesn't make a difference from where it comes. He in his opinion, it was okay. Again, he didn't write a full tshuva on it, he didn't give the same time that the Shevet Halevi spent and Rav Tubal spent, so it's to be Matan Lechatzchila. Can sometimes feel a bit tricky, but zecha b'diavet, it could help with b'diavet. But for sure, when a person's going to a shop and he's got a choice of pure honey and forest honey, there's no question that pure honey should come first, because it avoids the serious shaila of that the honeys are getting their stuff from shiraim of shirotzim, and it's not clear whether the heta of the Gemara applies to something like this. Something like this, the whole heta by bees, is because. Heta, oil, heta, nafik, it's a whole bit of a complicated sugya. Rabbi Yaakov, two lashonis in the Gemara, Bechoris, how do you understand the Vash Tavarim is okay? That's just one small point when you get to the honey bit. Just very briefly, you can spend a whole hour, you can spend 2 hours, you can spend the Holy Meir Slichas on this Shaila, about davening Slichas before Chatzos. Right? This is not what we're going to. I just want to throw a few seconds on this one. That Slichas b'fnei Chatzos, just to understand what's going on. It's about the only time that the Mishnah Berurah doesn't allow you to say Slichas, which is from Nacht till Chatzos, Balayla. So it's only those few hours from Nacht till Chatzos, 1 o'clock, that's when the Mishnah Berurah says that a person shouldn't say Slichas or Yud Gimel Midas B'shumponim, that's what he's quite shlach lashon. Besides for Yom Kippur, when he says Yom Kippur, he means Leil Yom Kippur, because Leil Yom Kippur is the only time that we say slichas after Shmoneh Esra. We say all different Hashem Hashem. That's the only time that we allow it.
So,
yeah. So the first night slichas is, that's why you'll find even those people which try and make sure to daven in the morning slichas before in the morning, that you will find a lot of people will daven Motzei Shabbos the first night because of the Lashon of Motzei Menucha and other reasons, because it comes from Shabbos, all different things. But certainly after Chatzos, you won't find this business before Chatzos in the posting for the Mogen Avraham and Matei Ephraim and the Mishaburah, they're very strong not to. Where does it come from? So Ramosha already acknowledges this. There are a few Chulas one that acknowledge it. And they base it on, one Svara they base it on is someone called Machshavas Ba'itza. And he says that it works with the Eis Rotzin of Yerushalayim. So if Yerushalayim, actually Chatzos in Yerushalayim is 12:36. So from 10:36, it would be okay to say Slichas in their opinion. Now, you have to realize it's a whopping Chiddush. The Shulchan Aruch Rav says Mufurish. And although Gedolei HaPoskim and Maria Sad's got Tshuva, Maria Sad's actually got interesting Tshuva. He says it can't be that it works with Yerushalayim. You know why? He says, because in Australia, yeah, it's many, many hours later or earlier. It's too early in the morning to work out which way around it is. Yeah, at the end of the day, is that it's about 7 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, he says that the Eis Rotzen is 7 o'clock in the morning. He says, it can't be that the best time to say Tikkun Chatzos and Slichos, the Eis Rotzen is in the morning. V'hamakoinin Omer, he says that in Eicha, it says, is Bochisifke Balayla. Yeah, the correct time to do it is Balayla. He says, that's his twist in it. There's many tshuvas for him. The Shulchan Aruch Rav Barosham at the beginning, Siman Aleph, he says that Eis Rotzen obviously works kol mokrim lefi min hagoy. Therefore, it's brought down in the sefer called Machshavas Ba'itza. But that's as far as it goes. As I say, by matzah lo shamanu by mitzvah deraisa matzah, we should start being machne 2 hours before Chatzos to eat Leil Pesach. We're going to start eating matzah 2 hours before Chatzos. Okay, that's one for it. Zecha, 100%. 100%. One's Eis Rotzen, one's not Eis Rotzen. The other point that is mentioned is that Ramosha Feinstein clearly didn't hold of this svara, because Ramosha Feinstein in the Tshuva, where he speaks about where people found it very hard, they were scared to go out their houses by night, in the early morning. So Ramosha said for that very year, he says he's allowing it, but he acknowledges that there's no koyach to the Yud Gimel Midas. You know, we say Yud Gimel Midas as a special Haftocha Chazal, Shloyach Zuru Reikon. When we say Hashem Hashem, it's a beautiful koyach. We have our nuclear that we come to Yom Nerom with, is that the Hashem Hashem is our nuclear, that Shloyach Zuru Reikon. Hashem doesn't throw away empty. So Ramosha acknowledges that Yud Gimel Midas, even if you do say it before Chatzos, it won't have that koyach. And he even clears, how can you say the whole thing? Because Banaka, you stop in the middle of a posse. Bishlim, if it's got the koyach, you'll come in with us. So fine, you can say it. But if it hasn't, then how can you say you're stopping in the middle of a posse? He gets into the technical points of it. The end of the day is, Tzoyf Dover, obviously there's a mokum lehokul, but the point which we're trying to say is that if a person can work out a way, you know, obviously it's very difficult, it's most practical to serve at 6 lichas 10 o'clock, 10:30, there's no question about that. But if it's something which is a mafurish, and Mishnah Berurah and Matei Ephraim, and they're all cocked about it, and even Ramosha was mati, he says it hasn't got a koyach of Eis Rotzen. So then, if we can try somehow, they're obviously, in certain days, obviously those, zecha better. Next, by the way, Slicha is very interesting. Rav Yashav points out that the Machzor Shekel brings in Simon Samaches. He says that the main Slicha, following Hashem Hashem, or before Hashem Hashem, the main part of the Slicha is actually the Psukim, which follow Hashem Hashem. So straight after Hashem Hashem, we say 3, 4, 5 random psukim. Always times it's different. Hashem Boika, random psukim that we put together, and then you have Karachim of Abonim, you have different those psukim. But the first 3, 4, 5 psukim, chosen, selected psukim that you have, random psukim, Rav Yashar points out those are actually the main slicha, and he quotes the Machzor Shekel, who says that the whole slicha that we know of a slicha is geboit on the psukim. That means the slicha looked at the psukim following the Hashem Hashem and built the slicha around those psukim. So he says udaloy kemoy katoyim And not like the people should make a mistake, but the thing is just Pesukim, and then they go straight to the king of the Kavasin. Oh, they say Pesukim very, very quickly. That was his hack. It's not much of a hack. It's just pointing out that those Pesukim are the Ikka Slicha, and then following the king of the Kavasin, no, that's just a description of the Slicha. The next Nakuda is we come to what we have Rosh Hashanah next week, Mr. Shem, and let's just plug into ready the meal. And obviously you got the Shaila of we dipped the apple in the honey, we dipped the challah in the honey. What's with the salt, by the way? It's mafurish halacha that when it comes to a normal meal that we have salt on the table. Why? Because the shulchan is doim ala mizbeach, and shulchan is doim ala mizbeach, and on the mizbeach they had salt, alcohol, korban, chotak, melach. That's where it comes from to have on the table. The question is, on Rosh Hashanah, your shulchan is also like a mizbeach. It's just that you, instead of dipping your challah in the honey, you dip it into the salt, you dip it into the honey. So some people did both. I've actually been to a few people that have the meaning to do both. Maybe else finds some of it. A few others that have the meaning to do both. But you'll find most people only dip it into the honey. But they will try and make sure that the salt is still on the table. It's nishkan stira. The fact that your shulchan is doimel mizbeach should still deserve the salt to be on the table. The fact that you don't dip it in is al pi kabbalah. Usually during the dipping in is al pi kabbalah, because three times Hashem Hashem is the same gematria as Lechem. Lechem equals three times Hashem Hashem. That's how it works. Melech, all the Kabbalah is Mazbe, all the Kabbalah. But when it comes to these days where we dip it into the honey, it's Nishkan Stira to have the salt on the table. That's the point they're trying to make.
But Friday night didn't dip in.
Sorry?
Friday night.
So, Chasam Sofer always held that you don't dip it in Friday night, that you have the Shitta. There's questions on that. There's a whole Arichos on that in itself. Was Pshat because they more. Here it comes to a shayla. Obviously, the big shayla is what do you do first when it comes to the simonim? So you have obviously the apple, and you have besides making a bracha on the Bori Priyot 8 on the apple, your Bori Priyot 8 should also deserve to go on the pomegranates or the dates that you have. Now, if you've got dates and pomegranates on the table, the Mishnah Mefurash says if you have something which is from the Shiras Aminim, something which is not Shiras Aminim, you make a bracha on the Shiras Aminim. So, Rav Shlomo Zalman Oyva, you know there's a sefer called Machzeh Mefurash. Machzeh Mefurash, the beginning of Machzeh Mefurash, he brings something from Rav Shlomo Zalman Oyva. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Oyva, in that beginning, just look around for Machzeh Mefurash, you'll see Rav Shlomo Zalman comments on this point. Apparently, he had the minig as well to make a bracha. His bracha of Bori Priyot 8 on Leil Rosh Hashanah was actually on the date, because date comes first. The date will come before a remind. The way to know is how many seeds. The more seeds something is, the less chashav it is, by the way, because that's the seder. You work out how many seeds. If you make a cheshbon, what's the first of the Shiras Aminim? Is Zayas, because it's one. The next one is Tamar. It's because it's split up into two, and then grapes, it's got a few inside, and then you got rimon. That's the seder. It's interesting, it's in the bria. But at the end of the day is that Shlomo Zalman Oyva, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, they used to make the bracha Bori Priyot 8. They used to first make a bracha. They used to first choose the Shiras Aminim, because as they state in Mishnah. So whether you have the minig or not, but even if you don't have that minig, even if you have a minig to first make a bracha on the apple, it seems to be an Indian to at least cover the Shiras Aminim to show that you're not doing that now. But there are places which say that ideally a person should go for the Shiras Aminim because Shiras Aminim comes first. And you know, later Rosh Hashanah we'll try to be Mekayim a Mishnah. The Mishnah says try and go for a Shiras Aminim. Those which have a Minik is based on a Kafah Chaim, and based on different Mekayim, should the Mekayim should at least cover it or not bring it to the table, then he hasn't entered the Shaila of having a Shiras Aminim in front of him. Then you've got the Shaila of eating before Tekiyas on Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, the Shaila is you sometimes get Afsoka, sometimes 20 minutes Afsoka, half an hour Afsoka. And is there any issue with eating, making Kiddush, having cake? The main issue, by the way, is how much to eat. Not whether you make Kiddush and have a little bit of a Te'ima. To have a Te'ima is quite clear in the posting, is not the real issue. The real issue is the actual Achila, the actual proper Achila. That means if someone were to wash and have more than a kabeta, that's a mafurish and mechaba, that a person's not allowed to do that before tekiyas. That's a mafurish and mechaba. You can't be kivir suda before tekiyas shofar is often, often. Shapanazim discuss it in Hilchas Shofar. It says in Hilchas Esrog, and Mishbura says, who had in for shofar? He discusses in Hilchas Megillah, and says, who had in by shofar? But the main thing, that's mafurish, that you can't be kivir suda. Kvir Suda is usually, when it comes to Kvir Suda for Sukkah, Mishnah Berurah says it always works together with Hilchos Sukkah. And by Hilchos Sukkah, Kvir Suda is to have a kibitza va'oid. Kibitza, if you think about it, is a slice of bread. Half a slice of bread is a kibitza already. Just over half a slice of bread is a kibitza. So kibitza va'oid, that's something, just over kibitza, 55cc, 58cc, that's already considered a sheer Kvir Suda. Now, when it comes to cake, which is obviously the most common thing, you hear Kiddush on Rosh Hashanah, you're not going to start, most people don't start washing. They have a piece of kuchen, they have a cake, they have a whatever cake it is. Are you limited as well to kibitza va'oid? The Mishnah Berurah holds that really on Shabbos and Yom Tov, yes. The fact that you're having a kibitza va'oid on Shabbos, and you're doing it in a way to be yotzei your Kiddush Makom Suda, that makes it choshev. That makes it choshev that you're limited to kibitza va'oid, really. It could be only one big slice of cake. Once you have a big fat piece of cake, could be that's already your kibitza. Having more than that is a bit of a shayla. The Mekilim would say, just like in the Chosukah, there are poskim who hold that when it comes to a pasah baba kisnin, the shiz is a bit bigger than the kibitza. So they would argue and say over here, you can say the same thing. But, okay, you're not going with the Mishnah Berurah's psak that on Shabbos and Yom Tov your kibitza becomes a choshev. Mishnah Berurah's got a shita, he brings a shochan acharav. It's negated to the sukkah. When a person comes home and has kiddush on sukkahs, and he has a kibitza va'oid of cake, does he have to make an eshev? The Mishnah Berurah says on Shabbos and Yom Tov, where your kibitza va'oid is acting for you, like your kiddush b'makom suda, because you're having kiddush, and you're making it, you're calling it choshev because you're having kiddush b'makom suda, so he treats it as if it's, that's called a kivir suda. Even if it's only kibitza va'oid, only just over a kibitza. So Mishnah Berurah's psak is that you should treat it like a kivir suda. So really, ideally, a person should avoid having more than a kibitza. If a person does have more kibitza, he would be relying on those shittas that says that, yeah, it's okay, it's not the same as pasta, it's not the same as bread. By the way, all the other things which are not mazonas, there's no limit. You can have 5 bars of chocolates and 100 apples, all those things, peyris, will never become a kibitz. And therefore, you can have unlimited amount of those things. Even Rice Krispies, which is really peanut chews, which are mazonas, but because they're not part of Chamesh and Minadog, and they're also got the same din as payers, those things are also okay, there's no limit to those things. The ideal thing is, before Tzkiyas, is to minimize the amount of Pasa Baba Kistin to have, try and stick to a kibitza, less just under kibitza. Don't forget you have to have a kazayis, because you want to have a Kiddush Makom Suda. So it is a bit tricky sometimes, if you want to be Mahmi and have less than the kibitza, you have to make sure to have between the kazayis and kibitza. It can be tricky. But at the end of the day, there's a mefurisha inyan to make sure not to have more than a kibitza. Because again, Mechaber says mefurisha not to have more than a kibitza or pas. Also, when it comes to pas above a kistin, Mishnah Berurah's shita is that it could be treated as if it's like pas, and therefore, you should try and have less than a sheh kibitza avoid. It seems that even sheh samin peiros, you want to have grapes, you can have 5 pallets of grapes, doesn't seem to be much of a problem. That's not it will never be considered a kriyas. Someone actually asked me, he said for 30 years, he's never tasted anything before tekiyas. It's like a statement for a shvegendem. Lachatchila, a person should try not to eat at all. And the poskim, they ask a question, where do you find such an inyan not to have a te'ima? It says in many places of Mishnah Berurah that even if you can't have an achilas kebab at a te'ima before Musaf also says you shouldn't have a suda. But you're allowed to have a little bit of a kiddush. So where does it come from, this idea? And they're trying to blame on a rekeach. The rekeach says when it comes to choshev a mitzvah, efshes mochomu. But the end of the day is that there seems to be an inyan to avoid te'ima, but many people are makel, and Rav Liasha points out it's fine because people need the koyach for it. That seems to be okay. But this person told me for 30 years, you had a meaning not to eat anything before tekiyas. You didn't make kiddush. And now for this year, he's a shtickler Rav somewhere, and for this year he feels it's the right, he wants to get more of the youngsters, he wants to make kiddush this year. Obviously, he'll make sure not to have more than a kibitza. He was aware of that halacha, but he wants to now step into boundaries that he's never touched before. He's never eaten before the kibitza. Now, does he have to make a Taurus and a Dorim? What would you say to the mitzvah, the Indian of a Taurus and a Dorim? So you'll go, yes, because if a person's noyeg to do something more than 3 times, that becomes a neder, and if it becomes a neder, he needs a Taurus and a Dorim. Listen to this Rav Shlomo Zalman Oibach. Beautiful, don't forget, Erosh Hashanah can throw in. Listen to Rav Shlomo Zalman Oibach, a festa tshuva in Milcha Shlema. You should know what the tshuvas that got into Milcha Shlema are completely random. He wrote this tshuvas himself, but they're random tshuvas. And he wrote a tshuva about this point. A neder is when I say I'm going to do something. I say I'm not going to eat. when you mitzvah of asachot tishmeri v'asisa is when you say a neder. If you don't say anything, in all his 30 years, he doesn't say I'm not going to eat. He's just his minhag was never. It was always marked with not to. Maybe he said that at the table a few times. I don't eat, but he's not betos neder. I am not eating. Eivaz says Rav Shlomo Zalman Eivach. That obviously is born in Hilchos Nedarim. Look in Rishon Amadala Yerideyas Mufut. These are the one Mufurosh in Hilchos Nedarim that becomes the neder. But it's not the same level neder as mitzvah of asachot tishmeri v'asisa. So in that, you can rely on that Torah Nedarim that you make in Erev Rosh Hashanah. The Ramah tells you, don't rely on that Torah Nedarim you make in Erev Rosh Hashanah. It's more foolish than the Ramah. Try not to rely on it, because we don't rely on it in Malik B'Shas, only different cases. Rav Zalman Eivach said, Azan Neder, which came about because of a Hanhoga, sometimes you have a Kvias. Mishabur already tells you in Rishon Lamates, when you start a Kvias, say Bli Neder, because you know you don't want it to turn into a Neder. So those types of Nadorim where it's Machmas Hanhoga, Rav Zalman Eivach says, for that you can rely on the Hatoras Adorim that you make in Erev Rosh Hashanah. It's interesting, Rav Zalman Eivach, they bring it down, Hentzikas bring it down, put down the
Tzibin. Bring it down. That you have
it seems that even if not, the Ramah said that you can rely on, Mafreya, back on what you've said on Erev Rosh Hashanah, you can rely on your Hatoras Adorim. Don't get me wrong, it won't hurt if he mentions to one of the people which he does Hatoras Adorim to, by the way, I've always had a meaning not to, and now I want to, okay, it's not going to hurt. But interesting, Rav Shlomo Zalman's got a whole very nice Tshuva. It's all down. I think the Dush will bring it down as well when you get to here. Yeah, that and Hoga Tova, yes, it's got the neder, but it hasn't got the same level of neder that you can't, that you shouldn't rely on the Atar Shadarim. You can rely on the Atar Shadarim that you make on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Just very briefly, when it comes to, the standing up during Chazal Shas is versus on Rosh Hashanah, you've got a lot of davening, and you've got sometimes you want to sit down. So, just an interesting thought. That when it comes to Chazal Shas, there's an Indian to stand up to Chazal Shas. But the Indian is brought down in Mechaba. It's not a Chiyuv. That's why you'll find some places that they'll sit down. But the Maaseh is brought in Mechaba. There's an Indian up in Mechaba to stand up during Chazal Shas. Sometimes, on Rosh Hashanah, you've got a Shaila where it's not the actual Chazal Shas, it's the Piyutim. Which during the Piyutim, you haven't really got that Mechaba. Mechaba is talking about the real Chazal Shas. On the other hand, during the Piyutim, you've got the other force, that the Orna Kodesh is open, the Maila to step, so which one's better? The Maila to step, you've got a choice. Some people stand up throughout the whole thing, some people find it hard to step, they sit down the whole thing. But if you're in a situation that you've got a choice to stand up during Chazal Shas, or to stand up during the Piyutim with the Orna Kodesh open, it's interesting that Rav Eliashiv held that there's an Indian to stand up during the Chazal Shas bit, even though you'll have to sit down during the times where the Piyutim, where the Orna Kodesh is open. What's the Maila standing up when the Orna Kodesh is open? You state that when a Sefer Torah is walking, that's when you have to stand up. When it's in its place, you don't need to stand up. No, the Prima Godim says that there's a Hidur, Anoshim Noegim Lahadir, there's an Indian to be Mahada and to stand up when you see the Sefer Torah, even if it's in its place. So Rav Yashav commented, he says, a Hidur versus a Hidur in the Prima Godim to stand up during when the Orna Kodesh is open, versus a Hidur in Mechaba. He chose the Indian to, again, you have to know if it's practical at all, this Shaila. But if it does come up, there is an Indian to, he held as an Indian to stand up during Chazal Shas. Because Api Chazal Shas, more than during the Piyutim with the Orna Kodesh open. Just by the way, when it comes to bowing, and Vanachal Kurim, so we always like to put something in between the floor and the body. Do you need to make a hefset between the knees and the floor, or is it the head and the floor? It's just in Mufurah to Rambam, the whole Indian of Ever Maskis, the whole Indian comes from the head. And therefore the Mughram says Mufurah and Kuf Mamadalav, the Indian is to make sure the head. So it's just if you're running out of those big sheets that they give out, all you want is a piece of paper for your head, it's absolutely fine. And then it's rather more machmir because everything is very, very dusty there. So if they do their knees, they walk around the whole Rosh Hashanah with two levonas, it's not so geschmack. Marvel is also more chamba. Yeah, but here it comes to more machmir even if it's carpeted. Next, Nakoda, people obviously want to know when it comes to Yom Tov Shailas. We've always got the Shailas of Yom Tov. And especially Rosh Hashanah, Sukkos, where we want to take out food from day one to day two. Really, you've got a Shaila of Achona. To be making from day one to day two is a problem of Achona. But there's a Heter, if you take it out early enough in the day, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you take it out early in the day where it doesn't look like you're doing it for tonight, it could be you need it for later for the supper for the kids. Then there's a heter to take it out if you do it for a mitzvah, which is obviously for a mitzvah for that night, for Sudah, and it's a Shas Hachak, which it usually is when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, Sukkah is a short davening, and therefore it's a Shas Hachak sometimes. You want to take out the challah, you want to take out the kugel, you want to take out the chicken, you want to take it out early on Rosh Hashanah, first day, for the second day, that should be okay if there's a need, which a lot of people find that's a need. So you take out early enough, like 3 o'clock, then you're fine. But the Rebbe Falkowitz used to point out and say, just be careful of bora. No one allowed anyone to do bora. So if you've got, let's say, a challah, which is in between a few different bags, and it's especially by a chest freezer, but even if not a chest freezer, you've got, it's behind the different things, and you're trying to find that very kugel, and you select it from the whole balagan inside the freezer. That's an issel bora. No one allows bora. What they did? Oh, very good. Bora is taka. There are major kulas in bora. We're going to see in a second. But that's only for boi bayoi. No one allowed bora for the next day. So it says for hachona from the yom liyom. Hachona is a very cold issel. So Chazal said, if it's nikkel, it could be for today, and it's for a mitzvah. So then the chay adam, Mishabur brings the chay adam that allows you to do a hachona from day one to day two. But no one allows a malocha from day one to day two, even if it's for a mitzvah, we don't find such a thing. Ach, hasheyochel l'chol nefesh is referred to that day, and we all know that, to do malocha from one day to the next, that's definitely not in the cards.
Is that not
umiyak,
because a lot of people think that's how long you have to do one together?
Oh, so you want to say that after this is considered miyat, yeah, for eating it. So again, the Rafat's got a whole thing on this. He wants to say that miyat has to be to the eating of the food, or at least to the earliest possible. Again, this is a shtick and a raid, and it needs a way of thinking about whether, because he does actually say that you're allowed to take things out of the freezer for as long as it takes to come out. So if, let's say, to defrost something takes 3 hours, so even to select it 3 hours before the meal, he was okay with that, because that's how long it needs beforehand. But to use the halacha part of it, sorry?
Put a basket of the food that you want tomorrow together with the food you want tonight.
So Ribbi Mashroom is brought down, in fact in Hilchas Yom Tov it's much more colouring on Shabbos, but it's the passage is to make sure that it's clear you're avoiding
Boira. So you don't want to get it all together, you put your food for tomorrow night together, yeah, with today's, you take out one go.
That would be okay. So to bring out food from day one to day two, that's always something to be aware of. By the way, potato peeler is something which I've found a lot of people... what's Posh want to know, it's an interesting notice of this potato peeler. Usually, potato peeler on Shabbos is definitely an issue, because it's a Kedish Machter Issa, you can't do Boira with a Kedi. You can't do Boira with a Kedi on Shabbos, yeah, even if you're allowed to do peeling. Kilof itself, all the Rishonim want to know, what's your Hetzer to peel on Shabbos? you're taking the Psoilus from the Eichel, what's going on over here? So they say, because Yev Shalin and Achei, and therefore it's a Hetzer. But certainly, Shukhanov says, Mephosh, you can't have something which is a Kedi Meyuchat. What's interesting thing is, there's a big noise, there's a lot of raid on this, why a peeler on Yom Tov is okay. So again, a lot of people want to make some potatoes for their children later on in the afternoon, and they struggle with a knife, you know, they end up cutting half the potato off, so they want to use a potato peeler. It's interesting that the posting brings out a potato peeler on Yom Tov is okay. It feels funny every time to see it on Yom Tov, a potato peeler. All of them, they bring down, they say ideally to use it Samach or Sudah, Samach to when you want to use it. But they matter even if without it. Long be aloch on this point in Tok of Yud, because must be all the ins and outs. So I haven't got time for it. I just want to end up with a beautiful thought, which is Svasemis. You can't go through a Rosh Hashanah without the Svasemis Zog, Benegir Tzkiyat Shofar. It's just a beautiful thought. He says that when B'Shas Tzkiyat Shofar, it's got a koyach as if we're all standing lifnai v'lifnim. What's his raya? Because he says, the Gemara says, that the Kohen Gadol never wore big dissolve inside the Kodesh Kodashim, because in Kategi Nasas Nega, we don't want something which is gold resembling the eagle brought inside the Kodesh Kodashim where Hashem's there. So the Gemara's got, but outside the Kodesh Kodashim, we haven't got a problem. The Gemara's got a kasha. Why is there such a hakapodah not to have a shofar we don't see around, but a shofar with gold? Yeah, the Gemara says you can't use a shofar of Zav with Zav, even if it's not Mafsik Tzkiyas, because you don't want Inka take a Nasa Snega. But the Gemara, why is there such a Hakapada, V'hal Shofar, that you're marked with even outside the Kodesh Kodashim, why is that Hakapada not to have, that they shouldn't have gold? So the Gemara answers, that Kivin Shofar Shani, Kivin Dele Zikorin Ka'asi, since it's coming for Zikorin, Kilifnai V'lifnim Domi. And Rashi, and the Matz, Svasemis, he dramatizes this, he says, that since is bringing zikaron dvarim for Hashem, it's as if you're standing in the fnei v'lifnim. Quite a powerful thing. That you can't, you're allowed to have gold, anything gold outside the kosher klashim. We have gold the whole time in the base of Mikdash. Shofar nisht. Why? Because shofar, when you blow the shofar, it's as if you're standing in the fnei v'lifnim. So Samus brings out nicely from the Gemara. They see Azazach, that it's as if you're standing in the fnei v'lifnim. Another small thought that I saw from Rav Eliyashah for the first time. Rav Eliyashah says an interesting thought. The reason why you say Lamnatzeach Livnei Korach. Why do you say Livnei Korach, the Mizmah Livnei Korach? There's obviously loads of Pshatim. But Livnei Korach is to remind you that the Bnei Korach got saved because the last second they did Tshuva. The last second, just before they managed to do Tshuva, Mamash at the last, the ground was opening. They were about to be swallowed up together with the Korach and everyone. And they did Tshuva the last second, right? So Rav Eliyashah was pointing out that even when it comes to the last second, you're standing literally 4 minutes before Tzgiyas. There's also a Hirurit Shiva, always welcome, even the last minute, similar to Mnei Kayas.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I think, if it's Ma'akav the Skiers, he always got a problem.